Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord.
Still wandering in the back.
Who is?
They're still wandering.
I know, yeah. Home. They're all shaking hands, loving on each other. Goodness gracious alive. Everybody's loving on everybody. You'd think this was a real Christian church. People are shaking hands, loving each other. My goodness gracious alive. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Isn't it nice to love somebody? Praise God. Cheryl's got some testimonies today. Wow.
I have a lot of testimonies today.
Wow, praise the Lord.
Okay, we got an email from Xavier, and he said, Dear Mr. and Mrs. Scribner, just a few minutes ago, I was burned by a flash fire. I've asked the Lord to forgive me of all sin. Can we come into agreement and ask the Lord to take my pain away, to not have any blisters or redness or discoloration on my body, and for a speedy recovery by tomorrow morning for the glory of His name? This was same day. He wrote at 7. We wrote back at 11 p.m. We are in agreement with your prayer that you are healed according to Matthew 18:19. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl.
And then,
okay, so that was on the 10th. And then on the 17th, he wrote, he sent me two pictures, and I don't have the pictures to show you. And he said, thank you very much for your prayers. It's been exactly 7 days, and my face is recovering just perfect, as well as my arms. God bless you both and the TLSM ministry. Praise the Lord.
Xavier. Isn't it wonderful to serve a God that answers prayer? I love it. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. This is from Adela. She says, good morning, dear friends, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl and staff. I'd like to ask for prayer for my mom. She's caught a cold and feeling very weak, along with a few other things. I always come to y'all, especially when it comes to her. The Lord has done some amazing things for her and also for me, but I just feel better when I join with you in prayer over her. I will not let the Lord go on answering prayer for her, and he has never let me down. I want these things to leave her and not ever return to her. Lord, by your stripes we were healed, which is a fact. So, Lord, we come to you for my mom and want a complete healing in her body from the very tip of her head to the pads of her feet. Everything, Lord. I'm grateful that we can come to you and give our supplications and receive our desires if we walk in your ways. Lord, our lives are in your loving, compassionate hands, and so give this request of health and healing for my mom. You know the full desire in our hearts to be fulfilled, so Lord, I will remind you that you do fulfill your desires and will not stop until they are fulfilled. Thank you, Lord. You are the Most High, and all things belong to you. Thank you, Lord, for answering this request. Thank you also for my beloved friends that stand with me in this. Most greatly yours, Adela. We wrote back, I see. Oh, she wrote before we wrote back. She said, it's done in the name of the Lord. And let's see, this was March the 12th. So on March the 13th, early in the morning at 1:31 a.m., we wrote back, we are in agreement with your prayers for your mom. She is healed and it is done. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl. And then that was at 1:30 in the morning. At 10:47 in the morning, she wrote, thank you for praying with me. My mom is much, much better. Sigh of relief and great joy. I praise the Lord. I love y'all.
Praise the Lord. Again, it's wonderful to have a God that answers prayer.
Yeah.
Even if it is 1:30 in the morning.
That's right. Okay, this is Norway. Dear Pastor Thurman, on Saturday, Jorgen, her 17-year-old son, fell when he was going downhill home on the farm, and his right shoulder got out of joint. He walked home, and the sight got black for a moment, but he got inside and laid down on the sofa. I went also inside. I told Jorgen to ask God to forgive him for having unforgiveness, not walking in love, and whatever I could think of. I prayed, quoted scriptures, laid hands on him, Mark 16:18. We had communion, thanked Jesus, and gave him the pain and told Jorgen it was going to be fine. I started making dinner, and then Jorgen said his shoulder was out of joint. He'd been down on the sofa, so I did not see before he now sat on the sofa. He had pain, and I called emergency on the hospital if someone could get his shoulder back in position. They told us to come. We thanked Jesus on our way, and I quoted scriptures. A medicine surgeon put it back put it back, x-ray before and after, and they suggested he should go to a physio, I guess rehab. I said the shoulder would be fine, and we went home thanking Jesus. He'd been doing great and has been to school. He's going in the 11th grade on learning carpeting and construction. Tonight he was doing homework, taking a little rest on the sofa, put his arm behind his neck, and there, it went out of joint again, and terrible pain. We took communion immediately, prayed, asked God for forgiveness. I broke the word curse Jorgen had spoken over himself that he could not lift his arms over his head the first 2 weeks, and loosed him from the curse, and I prayed and thanked Jesus for putting it back in place. I also tried to call your ministry for prayer, but no one answered the phone. He was in such pain, and it looked awful. What in the world do you do? We got in the car, thanked Jesus for fixing it, quoted scriptures. The pain was awful, and it was horrible for him when the road was bumpy. We got to the hospital, and they tried 3 times without being able to get it back in position. Terrible pain, and then a medicine surgeon from Kazakhstan, I think, finally got it back, being very rough. Jorgen asked if I could call you tomorrow for prayer. I said, yes, I would. We're without a house phone. The phone company's not fixed damage on the phone line yet because, you know, it snows a lot over there. But I can use a cell phone. It's not always so good connection, but I trust God will make it good. I do not understand this because I plead the blood of Jesus over him every morning, and I pray Psalm 91 over him. And on Saturday, I prayed for protection when he went out. This week, I've been thanking Jesus for a perfect shoulder and told Jorgen not to receive what the piece of paper with information from the hospital said. It could be painful, it could be so-and-so, but he had said at school he could not lift his arm over his head in 2 weeks. They're doing lots of work at school. But if that was the case, the arm should have gone back in position when I broke that spoken curse. I have been in peace this week that I did not have to worry about his arm because it was totally healed, and now this happened tonight. So what is wrong here? Sincerely, Merritt. Okay. Make sure that Jorgen has totally forgiven his father. He's born out of wedlock. Okay? They're not married. So we know this, so that's why we bring that up. We are including a link for him to listen to. Having unforgiveness and bitterness will continue to let the shoulder pop back out. He has to get control of his feelings and honor his father, no matter what he has done or not done in his lifetime. We have prayed, and it is done. We sent him, receive Jesus as your personal healer, and we sent him, honor your family. Thank you for your answer. I've asked Jorgen many times if he has unforgiveness, bitterness, irritation toward his father. He says no. He always answers him nice when he shows up. I've never heard him being unpolite toward him. I hope Jorgen will be able to follow your teaching in English. I will talk with him when he gets up. He stood up 6 a.m. for going to school, but came to the conclusion that he was not going. He'd hardly been sleeping tonight. He has not been home from school due to sickness for years. I've been sleeping little too. Was it wrong of me to take him to the hospital again yesterday? Was it due to unbelief that they were not able to get the shoulder back in place? They were trying by force many times to get it in place. The surgeon wanted him to take an MRI of the shoulder and wanted the regular doctor. Everybody has one in your home place that you're supposed to use even if you don't use him to apply for MRI. I asked if there was any reason for him wanting that. He wanted to be sure the shoulder capsule was not damaged. I said, I did not fear that at all. I believe my God and doctors healed his shoulder. He did not like what I said. He got dark in his face and said, I had to take the responsibility. Most likely there will come a letter from the local doctor due to MRI. Will it be wrong to take that, or do we just say no, thank you? How does Jorgen respond to not using his arm? Sincerely, Merritt. We answered. Jorgen has to have faith to stand for his healing. If he does not have the faith, then he needs to go to the doctor. Is it possible that he has an unforgiveness against a male teacher at school? Because he goes to a boarding school. Yes, it was due to unbelief and sin that it would not go back in place. Jorgen needs to get in the word as he is accountable for his own sins. He's 17. We have prayed, and it is done. Praise the Lord. Pastor Thurman. Okay, now she answers. Thank you for your answer and prayer. Jorgen listened to your links. He did not understand all but some. It could possibly be his teacher. He said no one liked him. He asked God to forgive him and loosed himself from the teacher and gave him over to God and asked God to bless the teacher. He's also asked God to forgive him if he's had bitterness, unforgiveness toward others. We have thanked the Lord every day that Jorgen's shoulder is healed and functions perfectly. This Monday, he used his arm in carpenter work in school. He said he sometimes felt some pain, but not much. I told him to rebuke the pain and confess his arm is healed. And when he came on Tuesday, he said his arm had not been hurting at all while they had been working. Thank you, Jesus. Today came a letter. They had already applied for the MRI without asking us any more about it, if we wanted it or not. He was scheduled for Tuesday, and Jorgen said he was definitely not going. So tomorrow I will call and say his arm is perfect, so we do not want the MRI. Glory to God.
Amen. Praise him. Wow. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
The love of Jesus that answers prayer. Wow.
I got a lot of talking to do today.
Wow, praise
all right,
the Lord.
Dear, this is from Betty. Dear Thurman and Cheryl, praise the Lord for your good teaching on the Word of God. On Monday morning at work, I tripped on some bags of clothes and fell on my right knee onto a brick floor. I never realized how many muscles were in and around the knee that could make my knee hurt so bad with every movement that I made. I praise the Lord, found someone to come into agreement with me and claim my scriptures of asking anything in Jesus' name, and by His stripes we're healed. I continue to work because healed people go to work. After a few hours, we didn't really have to pray very hard on this one. After a few hours, I was not able to put any weight on that foot. I could not bend my knee. I could not bend my leg. The pain was incredible. I put an ice pack on it, continued to do my work sitting down. I could not bend my knee at all. I was in tears. That afternoon, after work, I called the Living Savior Ministry and talked with Sharon. We agreed in prayer and thanked the Lord for His healing. The pain was so strong. I had to fight off the fear of wondering how I was going to take care of myself, use the toilet since I could not bend my knee at all and had poor balance. How I was going to cook my meals, drive my car, work at my job, not able to bend my knee. I woke up the next morning, Tuesday. The pain had lessened a lot. Still could not put any weight on that leg. I kept ice on it as much as I could. I took some ibuprofen. I used a luggage cart to push and bear my weight. I went to work because, well, people go to work. I worked 8 hours, went to bed. I woke up this morning. The pain had lessened a lot. I could put some weight on it. I used the cart for half a day, and then I borrowed a cane. I went to work because healed people go to work. I know she's really got it. Today, I worked 9 hours. By the end of the evening, I am able to put my weight on it. The pain is almost completely gone. This is amazing. I am not able to walk up the stairs quite yet. I am praising the Lord. He is doing a quick work. He is awesome. Please let Sharon know how wonderful it is coming along. I did not go to a doctor nor to an emergency room. I did not get an x-ray. My God Almighty is healing it. People wanted me to go to the emergency room on day one. I was in tears from the pain. Now on day three, they're saying, oh, it must have been just a bruise. They just can't believe how quickly God is healing it, but He is healing me, and I am so very, very grateful. Pastor Thurman, if you and Cheryl have time tonight to come into agreement and say a prayer of faith, that would be great. I would like to be able to climb the stairs instead of using the elevator. God is amazing. Thank you for your awesome ministry, and I am in awe at what God's doing. Blessings to all of you. Betty from Fort Mill, South Carolina.
Praise the Lord.
I have more. There's more.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, but we're not done.
Oh, we're not done. Okay.
No, we're not done. Okay. Okay.
So we answer and say, we've prayed and it is done. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl. At 11:40 p.m. that night. And then she says, yes, thank you so very much. It is done. Feels better already. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Then she writes, my knee continues to feel better. Dear Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, thank you for your prayer. My knee continues to feel better. I was able to walk up a few steps. I live on the third floor and there are 32 steps, high ceilings. I look forward to being able to climb all the stairs soon. I and all my friends continue to marvel at my being able to walk so well, and we give God all the glory. I'm so very grateful to Him. Today I walked with a cane for a half day and a half day without the cane. I worked another 9-hour day. Healed people always go to work. I love those. Thanks for being available to pray the prayer of a righteous man. Yes, we are all righteous by the blood of Christ. You have a wonderful spiritual authority that is needed in this world. Please let Sharon know how well I'm doing. Thank you again, Betty from Fort Mill, South Carolina.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
We have one more.
One more.
I always, when we get long letters, I really hate it because I think, oh, God, I'm going to have to read all this.
If you happen to go to a church that never has any testimonies and you like it, come see ours. We got all kinds. We have a Jesus that answers prayer here.
So I put it off to the very last reading of the letter when I got it that day because I was like, oh, man, that's a big fat envelope, you know. Anyway, and then after I read it, I said, you want me to read this at church? Anyway, dear Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, I thank God for you and your faith and courage to do God's work. From the first time I saw you on God's Learning Channel, I was addicted to you and God's Word. At one time, you were telling us to lay up some non-perishable food and to put some cash aside, so I was doing that very thing. Then one morning, about 3 a.m., a spiritual child was jumping on my bed. It was the precious Holy Spirit. He seemed to me like one of my own precious children. Anyway, this precious spiritual child woke me up and he asked me to please get some food out of the pantry and to take it to the rescue mission. He kept after me until I had put a lot of food in bags and it was time to go for the mission to open. I called them and asked them to bring a pickup to get the food. They were happy. Then I had to give my cash on hand to a citywide revival meeting. A few days before all this happened, our church was planning a Thanksgiving dinner after church the next Sunday and they asked me to make the hot rolls. So on Tuesday, the Lord was talking to me to go ahead and bake the bread, but I told him the bread would be stale by Sunday. Of course, he insisted, so I made the rolls, and I put some foil on top and left them on the counter. Then when the gentleman from the mission came, the Lord told me to give the rolls to them and also some butter. That is why the Lord insisted that I bake the rolls on Tuesday.
Praise the Lord.
I can't believe all the stuff that we get. This is great.
Then one morning, I was getting ready to go to work, and the Lord told me to quit my job that day. Oh, quit your job. But I said, Lord, if I tell them you told me to quit my job, they will say I am crazy. And what excuse can I give them for quitting? So I went to work, and I didn't tell my boss anything. When I got home from work, I went for a walk in the neighborhood, and I stumbled on a few pieces of gravel on the sidewalk, and I fell, and I hurt my arm. I was crying. I knew it was the Lord, and I came home and threw myself down before the Lord, and I repented. The Lord said, what excuse do you need to quit your job? Would a broken arm be enough, or would you like a broken leg?
Oh!
Whoa! Oh. No!
Oh, Lord, whoa!
Whoa's right. I begged the Lord to forgive me, and I told the boss I was quitting the next day. But I didn't tell them God told me because I didn't want them to say I was crazy. I told them I would stay with the new person they would hire for a few days to show them the ropes. Now, I was working for a lovely millionaire family taking care of their 90-year-old mother in her home. It was a beautiful situation from the very beginning. Before I started working for this family, I was working for an elderly lady, but she really couldn't afford to pay me. So one day I told her that she didn't have to pay me anymore, that I would just volunteer to do the work for her. Then my phone rang and I answered and a man said, I am Larry. Is this Bobby? I said, yes. He said, you don't know me, but my 90-year-old mother has been in the hospital and the nursing home and we want to bring her home and need someone to take care of her. Larry asked me if I would come and take care of her, and I said yes, that I would love to. Larry set up a meeting so we could discuss his mother's care plan. Larry asked me what days I wanted to work. I told him. He asked me what hours I wanted to work. I told him. He asked me how much money I wanted. I told him. So I worked there, and it was a lovely situation. But I told him I was quitting. Larry's sister was crying, and they couldn't believe I would really hurt them that much. They had hired the 90-year-old lady's granddaughter by marriage to take care of her, and the granddaughter was there with me. We were in the bathroom, and I was telling her the way I gave her a shower and dressed her, and the granddaughter was telling me that I just didn't know how much that family loved me and how hurt they were. I told her that I did know how much they loved me and that I loved them too, and I didn't want to quit my job, but that it was a God thing. This young lady started to have tears in her eyes, and she said, yes, it is a God thing. Because when my husband and I paid our bills, we only had a little money left, and I was down on my knees crying out to God to give me a job. A few months later, one morning as I was getting ready to go to church, the Lord told me to tell Pastor that I wasn't going to be teaching the adult Sunday school class anymore. So when I got to church, I told Pastor that I wasn't going to teach the class anymore, that God had told me to tell Pastor. So Pastor said, I know, the Lord told me you were quitting, and he said that you were moving out of town. She didn't know that. The Lord did move me out of town, but that day that I told Pastor I was quitting, Pastor's wife was upset and told me to at least stay at church. I said I would go home and ask the Lord about it, which I did, and the Lord said, absolutely not. Wow. The Lord did move me out of town, and in fact, one day he woke me from a sound sleep. He said, Bobby, come here. I thought it was my mother calling me that she was in pain and needed some pills. So I got up to take care of her, but then I remembered my mom had already passed, she'd already passed away years before. The Lord was calling me to come to the place he had for me because his body of Christ is hurting. Pastor Thurman, I thank God that you and your ministry are so near to God's heart for the body of Christ that is hurting. One last thing I wanted to tell you, and I don't know if you've seen this in your ministry, but I had a hard corn come on my finger, and it was under the skin and on top of the skin, and it had a dark, ugly spot on top of it like a wart. Well, of course, I had repented of everything with tears. I had had it with the devil, and one day I remembered how you slapped the man's broken arm to heal it. So I slapped that finger and kicked the devil out, and glory to God, he loosened that ugly thing out of my finger, and within a few weeks, my skin is restored. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, and your ministry for what a wonderful work Jesus is doing to heal the hurting body of Christ. With love, Bobby.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, we have one more live testimony. So we're going to let Vicki come up.
Praise the Lord. This girl's got a testimony she wants to tell us.
Well, I had the flu for like 2 months.
Well, you had what?
The flu for 2 months.
Oh, okay.
From
you
December
did
December 28th to February 24th. And I sent an email, an SOS basically saying, help, I'm in trouble. And I even used the D word.
Devil?
No, die.
Die.
I honestly thought I was going to die. And I couldn't breathe. And the congestion was horrible. And I used that D word with Cheryl. And Cheryl said, I rebuked that word. You're not going to die. And I don't even know how many times I emailed you.
Millions.
Yeah, several, all at nighttime. And I can't tell you how reassuring it was to know they were both praying for me, because I knew I wasn't going to die. As soon as she said that, that's the only time I really felt I knew, is when she said, I rebuked that word, you're not going to die. But it was probably the scariest thing I've ever been through, and I've never been sick that long. And sick people go to work, because I went to work, and it was really tough. I had to work 3 days in a row because I work part-time. But, you know, God doesn't always heal us instantly. Like, he healed my gluten and he healed my thyroid when you prayed for me last July. Sometimes he takes us through something, and I think that he purposely let me be sick that long. And I, you know, just making me rely on him and having growing my faith. And my husband and I, we read healing scriptures every day. We did everything she told us to do, because I was getting so scared. And she kept, and at one point she said, stop doubting. And she put it in all capital letters, because she could hear it through my emails that I was starting to waver, because the TV kept talking about all these people that are dying with a flu. And I knew I was that sick. And I had like 4 or 5 people even at where I worked that were all in the hospital. And so I just thought, you know, I even told my husband, I said, I just don't know if I'm going to get through this. You know, I just was in really bad shape. And I didn't know how to explain it to Cheryl on the email. I said, I don't know how to explain how sick I am. It was too hard to even explain how sick I was. And so I think God, like I said, purposely brought me through that and built my faith, because we had to keep saying the healing scriptures every day. Then Cheryl corrected me. She said, you can't pray for yourself. Your husband has to pray for you. And he's the one that has to pray over you. So he prayed for me and the healing scriptures. And we got in the thing, and we wrote up all these hymns, and we were singing hymns every night and praising God, because at one point I said, now what do I do? She says, just praise the Lord and thank the King. And that's what we kept doing until I finally one day I woke up and I was well. And it took 2 months, but I wanted to really thank you.
Amen.
Didn't
praise
die,
the Lord,
have.
Girl. Praise the Lord. We
walking,
love you.
Walking, living, and went to work.
Praise
well,
Lord.
People go to work. Heal people go to work.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And tell them why wives can't pray for themselves.
Well, of course, the reason the wife can't pray for herself is because the husband is the spiritual head over the wife. And you have to have your, if you're a woman that's married and you have a husband, you need to make sure that you've repented of sins and your husband's repented of his sins and done all the things that Mike did a while ago, plead the blood, everything. And then the husband needs to pray in faith. And it wouldn't hurt anything if he'd get a little forceful. In other words, just like this deal that Cheryl was reading to you a while ago. A lady said she remembered me praying for a man down at the Baptist church. He had broken his wrist. Now, I mean, you have to be led by the Spirit. So make sure you're led by the Spirit. So anyway, whenever this man, when I walked in the back of the church, he came to meet me. He was sitting on the back row, and he said, Thurman, you've got to pray for my wrist. I broke a calf this weekend at the rodeo, and I jammed my hand in the ground, and I broken my wrist. So I went to the doctor, and they checked, and it's broken. I said, well, let's go down front and pray over it. He said, absolutely not. He said, this is a Baptist church and there's too much unbelief in this place. I do not want to go down to the front with these unbelievers. He said, I've been going to church here forever. But he said, I want you to take me in the library. Just you and me and the Lord. I said, okay, that's a good place. We get away from the unbelievers. So we went back there to the library and we went in. I said, which hand is it? He held his hand out. And I said, well, it's broken. He said, yes, it's broken. They x-rayed it, it's broken. I said, James, that's his name. I said, James, you know when I pray, you have to believe. He said, Thurman, I know that. And he said, if you pray, it's done. I said, okay. So I reached out and took his hand and took my other hand, and I just went, bam, like this, as hard as I could hit him, knocked his hand down. He first thought, oh! And then he brought his hand back and he said, my God, it's healed, completely healed. And it was. His hand was completely healed. Matthew 11:12. In fact, Matthew 11:12, let's look at that scripture, see where I get that. What happens to the violent? What happened? Matthew 11:12. Sure, would you read that verse for me, please? Just a second.
From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
Well, see, sometimes if you're praying over somebody, and of course, you know, I've had to do this a couple of times with Cheryl, you know, that because you just don't realize what the enemy's doing to us. And when, in fact, I remember the time that she fell right in here in the hallway, I had to get violent with her that day. Some of you would think, you know, Thurman, he's the meanest guy I ever seen in my life, because when she fell, she called me, and I had come around here to the, I'd went to the bedroom, and when my phone rang, I heard his little squeaky voice say, honey, I'm hurt. I thought, well, wow, I wonder what's wrong with her. So I come running out of the bedroom down the hallway, and I'm running around the corner. When I did, I almost stepped on her in the dark there. It was not much light. She was laying on the floor. She said, oh, I have fell, and I have hit my knee on the concrete. I hit my head on the wall. I jammed my hands into the wall. She said, I know I'm going to swell up. And she began to confess all these negative things. I told her, I said, woman, shut up. I don't want to hear no nonsense. I said, the Word of God says we can ask for anything. Does it say that? I said, so whatever we say with our mouth, if we believe it with our heart, we can have it. So I said, Mark 11:23 says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I can have it. So I said, you are healed. And I got her down there and started to get her up. And she said, oh, honey, it hurts. And I reached over and slapped her on the butt. I said, stop that nonsense. Get up. Some of you said, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not married to you. But the violent takes it by force. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I can assure you I didn't hurt her. She's still here today, so she's not. I didn't kill her. So I was swatting her. I was getting her up, and as I pull her up and get her up, and I said, come on, let's go back to the bedroom. You're going to be okay. She said, I know my knee is all bruised. I said, quit saying that. I don't want to hear no more of that. Say my knee is not bruised. I'm healed. Well, we go back to the bedroom, and I said, now you're healed, girl. I guarantee it, because I'm standing on God's word. So we go back there, and she begins to look in the mirror, and she looks at her hand, and she looks in the mirror, looks at her head where she hit the floor, and looks at her knee, and she says, wow, there's hardly a bruise at all. It's just nearly nothing. I said, well, quit saying that there's going to be a bruise. I'm saying there ain't going to be no bruises. I have spiritual authority over you, so you ain't going to have no bruises. And so, and boy, in a little while, I said, you're okay now, I guarantee it. Now, Mark 11:23. When you go to Mark 11:23, I want you to look at this scripture. Mark 11:23.
But verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Now stop and think about that a minute. What did he say you could have there? Whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe with your heart, you can have it, right?
We read that scripture every day.
Isn't that a powerful scripture? I mean, if our Lord and our God can trust us with that kind of a verse, the least I want to do is use it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to stand for my wife. I mean, here I have dominion and authority and power, and here she is laying there on the floor hurting, her knees hurting, her head's hurting, her hands hurt, everything. Just like with James, when James walked in, his hand was broken. He'd been to the doctor and they had checked it, and it is broken. I mean, he jammed it into the ground and broken a calf. And so when I told him, James, you got to believe, he said, you pray, it's done, I believe. And so, I mean, I just led by the Holy Spirit. I'd never done that before. I just reached over and took my hand and grabbed his hand and slapped it, knocked it right out of my hand, and his hand went back and he screamed and come back and he says, my God, it's completely healed. There's not a pain or nothing in my hand. That hand has been healed ever since. Now then, the violent take it by force. So see, when I do these things and they work, Jesus knew down the line there was going to be a little lady that had a growth on her hand or something, or foot or whatever it was, that she needed to get rid of, and she was not having too much luck getting it done. So she also got rough with it. She slapped it. And what happened? Did it go away instantly? No. Sometimes, like with James Deesman, when I prayed for him, sometimes it happens instantly. Sometimes it doesn't happen instantly. Sometimes you have to do it over and over and over. In fact, I was listening to a guy that was learning how to walk in the gifts of the Spirit the other day. He said, the Lord told me to pray for the sick. Now, I remember when the Lord told me to pray for the sick the first time. Ed Brock, 42 years old, had terminal cancer in every organ of his body. And I'm standing in his room, and his wife says he only has a few weeks at best left to live. And the Lord spoke to me as clear as I'm hearing my own voice right now and said, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him and I will heal him. Well, now, if you hear God say that, usually you expect when you go over and lay hands on somebody, you get an instantaneous answer to prayer. But sometimes it doesn't work like that. If it doesn't work like that, don't give up. Keep praying like y'all did. And you see, when you're praying, you're being tested. You're being raised to another level. The enemy is trying his best to get you to not believe. Oh, just think, you dummy, all your friends are dying.
Right.
You know, that's what he'll put in your heart, won't he?
And on TV and everywhere.
Do y'all begin to see the answer, the reason God doesn't heal all, if he healed every one of us or every request we had, he'd give it to us instantly. We'd get to where we would think that every time we ask him for anything, he had to do it instantly. And so there wouldn't be no growth period there. But he wants you to stand on his word and continue to pray. And then he wants the husband to get in there and pray. He wants the husband, especially the husband, to read these verses. Now just think, that Mark 11:23, let's go back to Mark 11:20, about verse 20, Mark 11:20. Let's read a couple of scriptures down through there and see what's happening.
And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots.
Wait a minute, let's go back a couple more verses. Let's go backward just a little further. Let's get what happened, what Jesus
probably
did.
Probably 8. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine.
Everybody's astonished at the doctrine of Christ. And when you start trying to believe him, they're going to be astonished at what you do also, because it's going to work. Okay, read on.
And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. He had cursed the fig tree. And Peter, calling to remembrance, say because it was the time that the leaves were on the trees, but no fruit was bearing on it. And he cursed it and told it would never bear fruit again. So Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away.
Now, you notice here, I guess we should have went back a couple of more scriptures, but you know that what happened here, that whenever he spoke, that day when he's going to Jerusalem to go to the synagogue, he was hungry. And so when he was hungry, he walked over to a fig tree over there, and although it was not the time of the year for figs, there was nothing to eat. So because that tree was producing no fruit, what did he do to that tree?
He cursed it.
He cursed it with his words. Just like when you speak words of faith for your wife's healing, you can speak words of curse to us also. So Jesus spoke a word of curse to that tree. Now then, here's something that's scary when I begin to get a hold of the scriptures, that we are trees. Christians are trees, and we're supposed to be producing fruit. So that's a picture that if you don't produce fruit for the kingdom of God, he might cut you off. In fact, there is scriptures in the Word of God that confirms that. That every branch, John 15:2, every branch in me that bears no fruit, every branch. If you don't bear fruit, I'm going to cut you off. In other words, when he brought us into this earth, did he bring us here to feed us and clothe us and do nothing? No, he told us to produce fruit. He said, go and tell people about me. That was the last thing he said before he left. Go and bear fruit. Go and tell people about me and my love. And everybody that will believe will be saved. Everybody that will not believe will be condemned into hell. Somebody said, well, you know, I don't believe there's a hell. I heard John Hagee say something the other day that kind of amazed me. He was talking about hell. He said, you know, the Bible teaches more about hell than it does heaven. And I thought, well, that's true. I know that to be true. He said, you know, I tell you there's a hell. You say, I don't believe there's a hell. He said, that's okay. Whether you believe it or not, it don't change the Word of God. Not at all, does it? I mean, just because I say there's no hell, that doesn't mean there ain't one. If I say there's no heaven, that don't mean there ain't one. You know, when you stop and think what the Scripture says, that there is a heaven, there is a hell. Now, that I'm sure that everybody in this room with me that's a believer, you will acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ is the one and only way to heaven.
Amen.
And if you don't believe that, in other fact, I was over in Lakeland years ago. There was a senior pastor from another church that had come to visit with us, and he was talking. He said, now, I want to ask you all a question before we get started. And there was probably 200 or 300 people there that day. He said, everybody in this room that believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, I'd like to know how many of you have made that decision. Hold your hand up. And so almost everybody in the place held up their hand. There was a few that didn't, but a few. He said, now I've got a second question I want to ask. All you that held up your hand that said you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, how many of you are sorry you made that decision? Guess how many hands that went up?
Zero.
That's exactly right. He said, you know, I've been asking that question in churches all over the country for years. And he said, I've never had a taker on that second question. That's pretty good odds, isn't it? I'll tell you what, let me ask you this question. You're a believer?
Yes.
How many of you are sorry you're a believer?
No.
Oh, there ain't no hands going up in here either. Just think. You talk about this magnificent promise, just like this couple over here. I mean, they're just learning how to do this. They really don't know, but they're learning. And, of course, whenever they read the Word of God, I mean, he...
Baptist.
Huh?
I was a Baptist.
Yeah. I mean, your husband, when he reads the Word of God, he's intelligent enough to know this is God's Word. If God said that, then it ought to work for me, right? And it did, but it didn't work right then because you didn't have enough faith. But the more you studied, the more you listened, the more you read the Word of God, the more the Holy Spirit began to train you that He is who He says He is, and it began to work. Now then, a few weeks later, you can sit here and say, I'm well. I'm definitely going to work. I'm a well girl. Sick people stay home in bed, but well people go to work. But that's what you got to do. You got to learn how to fight the fight of faith. Now, when you think about this awesome promise, one more time. I want Cheryl to read, starting with verse 22, Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Okay. Those two verses, I want you to read those.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God.
Have faith in God. Just to have, how many of you in this room that are a Christian, how many of you have faith in God? Do you have faith in God? Boy, I'm going to hold up both hands because I have faith in God and I want Him to know I have faith in Him. I know what He can do. I've seen what He can do. I've experienced what He can do. And most of you in this room have, just like this couple over here, you might have asked them a while back, do you believe God's the healer? They might not have known, but she believes now. Her husband believes now.
I've been healed three times.
Do what?
I've been healed 3 times.
Oh, she's been healed 3 times. Wow. So He didn't just do this one time.
No, this is the third time. The first were 2 instant healings.
Wow.
You both prayed for me last July.
Is God awesome or is He awesome?
Oh, yeah.
Just think of the people that don't know what you know. And many of them are dying. In fact, do you know all those friends of yours and people that you know that was in that hospital that did die? The healing power of Jesus was available to them too if they'd only known. Isn't that something? That's just like when I went down to Cook's Medical Center that time, 15 years ago almost. 9 babies are laying on ICU in the ward, and all of them are going to die. These are the ones that's terminal. 9 of them. One of them was my granddaughter.
That's been 17 years ago.
Yeah, 17 years ago, whatever it was. Yeah, she's now, but that little girl that they said could never live, it's impossible, her brain stem severed, she's now 20 years old.
Wow.
She was 4 at the time. She is a little sweetheart, and she rides her horse and all these things, but just think, God made these promises a few thousand years ago, didn't He? They ain't like we just put them in the book last week, is it? Why don't we believe? Why do we believe? Somebody told me this morning or yesterday, whatever it was, that one of the pastors of one of the big churches in the Metroplex was pleading with his people, please read your Bible. Now, if you don't read the Bible, you can't have no faith. So if you say something to someone about getting healed and they say, well, I don't know whether Jesus heals or not. I mean, you don't get very much from a faith God if you don't know what He'll do. Right? But if you know what His Word says, you know that He bore your sickness, you know that He removed your disease, you know that He done all these things for you, you can stand by faith on His Word and see His answers, which are yes and amen every time. And the more the knowledge of the Word you have, the better you get at it. I mean, one more time. Read that Mark 11, 22 and 23. Just that one verse or two verses. Have faith in God. Okay.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Okay, now let's stop and think about this a minute. This is so simple. It's so simple. Jesus spoke such simple terms. If you only believe, if you only believe, you can speak to, maybe it wasn't too simple. What did he say? Speak to what? Speak to what?
The mountain.
You got to be crazy, girl. Baron, big old boy like you, you can't even speak. You can't even cast the mountain out, can you? But he said, the master said, if me and you only believe, we can speak to that mountain. And if we don't doubt in our heart, that mountain will obey you. Now, he said that. We need some practice.
Yes, sir.
That's where me and you both are lacking. We just need a little more practice, right?
Yes, sir.
Because God can't be wrong, can he?
Not at all.
His word is never wrong. The word is never wrong. So if Jesus says, if you only believe, you can speak to the mountain and command the mountain to move from here over there into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, the mountain will obey you. So if we can speak to a mountain, then what else could we speak to?
Anything.
My goodness, so when sickness comes upon us or whatever tries to come upon us, why don't we just lay back and go to a doctor and let them do their thing? Why do we do that? Why don't we speak? Why don't we get violent like that little girl and says, in the name of Jesus, I command this thing to get out of my life. I'm not taking no for an answer. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm delivered, whatever. Then that next verse, what does verse 24 say?
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Now, think about that. You know, I'll tell you one of the things that makes that work and one of the things that makes that not work. When Caitlin, after we got out of the hospital, I went and prayed for every one of those 9 children. And every one of those kids got well. All 9 of them. They couldn't believe it. I mean, there's a woman down there in ICU, one of the nurses. She said, I don't know what it is about your prayers. But she said, I've been in a room where you prayed, and you just pray a normal, simple, little one-line prayer. And these kids, which are terminal, get well. What? How do you do that? I said, well, the first thing I do is I find the parent's sin. What's that got to do with it? Everything. Everything. That's just like that picture. How many of you saw the picture of little Gideon out there on the hallway? You seen Gideon's picture? If you haven't, you need to look at it. When you start home today, when you walk out of the hallway, turn to your left and look at the three pictures. One frame, but three pictures. And on the left side, when you're standing looking at it, you look at the left side, you'll see Gideon when his mother was in forgiveness with her husband. And he's dying. He has 26 pounds of water in his body that's not going out his kidneys. His kidneys have failed, and the doctors don't understand why. They just know they failed, and there ain't nothing they can do to fix him. So you have about maybe 3 weeks left, and the Gideon will pass away. She called us. She wanted us to pray. I told her, ma'am, there's a problem we've got to find. Is some kind of a sin. Do you have a sin or do you have an unforgiveness against your husband? Usually that's where it is. Husbands and wives. She said, yes, I hate my husband. Now then, does that sound like scripture? Does it sound like I'm supposed to hate my husband? What am I supposed to do for my husband? If I'm a wife, what am I supposed to do? Love and honor him. Not hate him. Because he goes out and bought, why do you hate him? Well, he bought a cell phone. So what does that got to do? Lots of men buy cell phones. What's the deal? She said, but my husband and I made a pact. We would not do that. We would live without cell phones and computers. We don't want one. So he goes behind my back and buys one. It's like he committed adultery. I hate him for that. I said, do you know you're killing your child? Because you, woman, are not obeying the Lord's teaching. He says you have to walk in love. If you don't love, this won't work. You got to love. In fact, none of the promises of God will work if you're walking in hatred. None of them. None of the promises will work. Not one single one will work. If you're not in a love walk, it won't work. So I told her. I said, you've got to forgive your husband. She said, what if I don't? I said, then Gideon's going to die. Your little two-year-old son is going to die. Well, what if I do forgive him? Then I guarantee you he'll live. The Word of God clearly says he will live. So she forgave her husband and promised the Lord she would love her husband. We prayed a simple prayer, and within an hour, within 1 hour, little Gideon's kidneys are working, and all of a sudden he starts letting off water. And within 3 days, 26 pounds, somewhere between 26 and 30 pounds of water has drained out of the little guy's body. And today, years later, several years later, little Gideon is completely, totally normal and well. If we had not... Just think. That scripture right in Mark 11, 24, it says, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received, and it shall be yours. Somebody read it and think, well, that sermon, it doesn't say you got to do all those things you said. Yes, it does, if you don't stop reading. It says, when you pray, you must believe with no doubt in your heart. You must believe. So, if I don't believe, that next verse, 25, what does 25 say, honey? Read verse 25.
And when you stand praying, forgive.
Oh, wait, hold it. When you stand praying, do what?
Forgive.
Oh, now you see where I learned that, right? When you stand praying, forgive. I don't care what she did to me. I don't care what he did to me. In fact, let me tell you something I saw the other day on the news. It's devastating. Some of you may have heard about this girl. Some guy raped her and brutally killed her. And they caught him. But he had already done his dirty work. I mean, he'd raped this girl and then killed this woman. And they got him and they sent him to court. He's going to go to jail for years. But the father of the daughter that got raped, they had this on TV. He said, I want you to know that I'm a man that believes in the Bible. And I'm a man that believes there's a heaven, and I believe there's a hell. And you, sir, I'm going to wish that you spend eternity in a godless lake of fire and burn forever because I hate your guts and I'll never forgive you. I don't care what happens. Here is a man that says he believes the Bible. He don't believe the Bible at all. He don't know what it says. I'm going to hate you. I'm going to wish you into the lake of fire. I believe there's a hell and may you burn in hell forever. Well, look out of this. If something drastic don't happen, guess which one of them is going to burn in hell?
He will.
Probably both of them. More than likely, both of them. But maybe, what if the guy that is already a Christian, what if he goes through life and hates this murderer, rapist? And that's a good enough reason to hate somebody, isn't it? But in God's line, that don't line up. You can't do that in God's rules. So anyway, if you don't forgive, and say, let's say that he didn't, say he never forgives. He goes through life saying, and every time he thinks about that guy, or when that guy gets out of prison someday, he may come to know Jesus. When he comes to know Jesus, his sin of murder will be forgiven. You know that? So there would be nothing against him. Wouldn't it be awful on this man that his daughter got raped and murdered, if his daughter, I mean, so maybe she's a Christian, I don't know. and I hope she was. But let's say this man, say he was already a Christian, and then he doesn't ever change. He constantly has that bitterness and unforgiveness in his heart. But the other guy that was the murderer, he gets saved. In prison, he gets saved. When he gets saved, how many of his sins are washed away?
Oh.
Wow, clean and pure and holy. And he gets to go to heaven.
Yep.
If you don't get into unforgiveness towards somebody. But this other guy that says he's a Christian, read that a little further down on that.
And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Keep reading. But if you don't forgive, what's the next verse say?
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
So let's stop and think about this a minute. You're a Christian washed in the blood. And all of a sudden you get into bitterness against somebody like this. And you never forgive them. You never forgive them. You go through life with unforgiveness, bitterness against someone, and then one day you die. And if you are not forgiven, the Lord says if you don't forgive him, he's not going to forgive you. Is that what that said? So you couldn't be much clearer, could you? So if you don't forgive, neither will I forgive you. And if you're not forgiven, do you think it's a possibility that you might make it into heaven being not forgiven? You don't think so either. I don't think so either. That's like Mike was talking about a while ago. If something, everything that seems to, that doesn't work for you, nothing seems to work for you. He said, you know, you got a hitchhiker. Let me tell you a little bit about that hitchhiker. I want to show you how he works. I want to go to Mark, not Mark 11. We already talked about Mark 11. We see what that says. Just think, if you do what God says and you walk in obedience to his word, you can ask for anything and he'll do it for you if you only believe. So that's how we get so many people healed and delivered here at this church. We believe with no doubt in our heart. By believing with no doubt in our heart, God steps out and does what he promised to do. He heals and delivers so many people in this church. I mean, I could just go on all afternoon, the number of people that we've seen him heal. Here's a little couple. She's been healed 3 times. They're learning how it worked, aren't you?
Healing me.
Yeah, and
working,
and that's, if you stay with it, you'll be a work in progress till he gets it done.
Every day.
Amen. Praise God. That's wonderful. But let me show you something about how this kingdom of God and the kingdom of hell work. Let's go to Matthew 18:21-35. Matthew 18:21-35. And I want to show you how you can give place to this tormenting spirit on earth that Mike was talking about. And how many ever, I mean, some people say, I mean, I asked this question years ago when I saw a man, 2 men, one of them, it seemed like everything he did turned to gold. The other one, everything he did turned rotten. I didn't understand that. So I asked my boss, an elderly man. I mean, I'm sure Mr. Saylor was probably 55 or 60 years old that time. He was an old man. Wow. So I said, Mr. Saylor, of course, I'm only 19 years old, you know, so I'm just a kid. I said, why is it that this man has got all nice pickup, nice car, you know, got good fences around his place. Him and his wife and kids are all seem to be healthy and well and all kinds of stuff, but the other guy's sick and afflicted and everything's wrong with you. I said, well, why? What makes the difference? Oh, he said, Thurman, it's just management. Management. He says, this man learned how to manage, this one hasn't. But I now know he was wrong. Age don't always have the answers. I now found out that it was because of the blessings and curses. The man that always had the nice truck, the nice car, his wife was healthy, his kids were healthy, he was blessed, everything he did, his fences was good, everything he had was good. He was blessed because he and his family served God. That's what makes the difference. But the other man did not. He did not serve the Lord. He went his own way and done his own thing. As he went his own way and done his own thing, the devil. I'm going to show you how he gets into you in Matthew 18. I want us to read 21 through 35. I want Cheryl to read verse 21 through 35.
Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?
Now you would think, anybody in their right mind, if I offend you seven times today, surely you could forgive me at least seven times today. Somebody said, are you out of your mind? I might forgive you once, but the second time I'm going to punch you in the nose. Don't even worry about the third and the fourth time. Is that the way we live? Sure, that's what we think. We don't even think like that about forgiving. We don't even think about it. But let's read on a little bit.
Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
Did you know that's 490 times in one day you got to forgive me if I offend you? How many people do you know that do that? Nobody. Nobody. They don't believe there's a consequence. They have no idea. If they really believed there was a consequence and they knew what that consequence was, I guarantee it would be real easy to forgive. Real easy to forgive. You know, I think about Mike and Grace. Of course, many of y'all been in the same place. How they suffered with his back all those years. They thought they were doing everything right. They was trying, but they didn't know how to make faith work. Finally, after coming here for a while and listening to the way it worked, they got a hold of it. They're in the bathroom, they're fixing a ceiling or a wall or whatever, and Mike's back is killing him. He says, honey, I can't go no more, got to quit. She said, you know, Pastor Thurman keeps telling us that if two of us agree, Matthew 18, 19, if just two of us agree about anything, God will do it. Why don't you let me pray for you? He said, at this point, I'm ready for anything. And so Gracie prayed for her husband, laid hands on him, and prayed and thanked the Lord for his healing. And then, as Mark has told y'all many a time, it once they agreed and got lined up with the Word of God, it only took one heartbeat. One heartbeat, and your pain was gone just like that, wasn't it, Mike? And you ain't never had that problem again. He was just like you were. He was just like y'all were. You know, y'all didn't know it either. But now that you know how to get her healed. Now Mike and Gracie knows how to get things done now. So now then, you don't have to worry about Mike or Gracie praying. They pray before they start. They pray in advance because they know what the Word of God says and they want to walk in love. But according to this scripture, Matthew 18, 21 through 35, read a little further.
Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents, $3.4 billion. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made.
Wow, sounds like somebody's going to pay some serious prices here, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, go ahead, honey.
The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.
You know, if you were told it was time for you to pay up and you owed $2 billion or $5 billion, whatever that comes out.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And the boss come in and says, okay, today I'm calling that debt in. You got to pay it all today. He didn't have no money. All he can do now is call on the mercy of God. Lord, be merciful to me. Forgive me. Just give me some time. I will pay all that back. I promise I'll pay it all back. The master knew he was not going to be able to pay that back. He got way in over his head. So he said, oh, okay, I'll tell you what. Just because you asked me to and you've promised to pay it back, I'll just forgive it all. You don't owe me nothing. The $2 billion you owe me, just mark it up to experience. Well, the guy was happy. Wouldn't you be happy? Paid in full. That's just like mine and your sickness. It's paid in full. Paid in full. So anyway.
Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt.
Wow. Praise God. Read on.
But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, $3,200, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest.
Wow.
And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt.
Wow.
So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors.
Tormentors!
If
the church, boy, Cheryl knows how to put the emphasis on that, don't she? If the church had any idea that every time you get into bitterness and unforgiveness, you get turned over to a tormenting spirit. That tormenting spirit is coming from God to you because of your bitterness and unforgiveness. And that next verse, read that. Okay.
And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him.
Wow. $2 billion is going to take a while to pay that back.
So
wow.
Likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Wow. Are we in trouble?
If you can't,
now you know why everything goes wrong. Now you know why nothing works. Now you know why your truck breaks down all the time. Now you know why your washing machine breaks down. Now you know why nothing works in your house. Now you know. Because now you know why kids are sick all the time. Now you know why all them kids down there in Cook's Medical Center was dying because their parents had unforgiveness toward each other. Now you know why little Gideon out here, he was dying because his mother hated her husband. And she had opened the door to the tormentor. And the tormentor was coming in and he was killing that child. But when we found that she had that bitterness, unforgiveness, I said, if you forgive your husband, we can pray for that boy and I guarantee God will heal that child. So anyway, she said, I forgive him. I will love him. And boy, that's been probably, 3 years ago or 4 years ago when that happened? Something like that, 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. Let me tell you that we got a really nice letter from that lady the other day, and she said, that has changed our life forever. I would hope so. She said, it's so nice to be in a family where we all love one another. Now then, who is it that told us, I command you that you love one another? Who was it that told us to do that? Who did that?
Jesus.
Don't you think he knew it would be better if we walked in love?
Yep.
When we walk in love, Mike don't have to have a back pain.
No.
And he loves that.
Amen.
No back pain. I tell you what, here's the thing you need to realize. Anytime some kind of sickness or disease or pain or suffering comes upon you, you need to find out what you're doing wrong. You need to look for what you're doing wrong. There's something somewhere that's opening a door, and it may very well be unforgiveness and bitterness. I mean, just who would have ever dreamed a woman could hate her husband because he went out and bought a cell phone? And just think, if God hadn't have put us in the right place at the right time, little Gideon would be in the grave by now. He'd have been dead 2 years ago or 3 years ago. There's nothing we could have done or nothing nobody could have done. It's just like King David. When people say, you know, Thurman, God don't do these kind of things.
Oh, yes, he does.
Oh, yes, he does. Just like King David. When King David committed adultery with Bathsheba and she got pregnant, it says, and the Lord was so angry that he struck the child with illness and the child died in 1 week. Do you know that's in Scripture? God struck the child. Now, if God did that then, several thousand years ago, and he did it just here a couple of years ago, will he do it again? He will. This book never changes. You've got to learn to walk in love. If you don't walk in love, your life is going to be miserable. You know how much fun you can have with a herd of demons, hitchhikers? I love that, what you call those, Mike. Those little hitchhikers. They will definitely hitchhike, won't they? Yeah, and the thing about it is, if you don't take the source of the sin away, you can't kick them out. You might kick one of them off. You might have one. You might grab him, foul, and kick him in the knees or something, and he fall off out there, but he'd jump around and do a couple of backflips, and before you get there, he's back in you again. You can't get rid of them unless you take away the source of the evil. I want you to see this scripture, 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18. Now, this is the Lord's talking about his church, the church, the body of Christ, in 1 John 5:18. Now, Cheryl, read that to me.
We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not.
Now, wait a minute. That's pretty sound stuff. Whosoever is born of God. Are you born of God?
Yes.
Are you really born of God?
Yes.
Then how much sin is supposed to be in your life?
Zero.
How much? Zero?
Zero.
We can't be serious about
gotta
this.
Gotta be serious.
Zero.
I mean, it's written in God's Word, isn't it, brother? If it's in that book,
you gotta believe it.
You gotta believe it.
Yeah.
My children. Yeah. And that's me and you, right? Yes.
Washed in the blood.
Washed in the blood.
Washed in
the blood. They do not sin.
Don't sin.
No sin. How much sin?
Don't do it. No sin.
Wow.
None.
Wow. How much sin?
Zero.
Zero.
You really think he meant that, Steve?
Yes.
He really did.
It's in the Word.
It's in the Word. If it's in the Word, you just got to believe it, right? It's done.
We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not.
Hey, that makes it a little more enticing.
Yep.
If I don't sin, what can the devil do to me?
Nothing.
When I speak to him and tell him to go take a flying leap, what does he got to do? He's got to obey. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
You know, when God gives us these awesome promises that you can speak to a tormenting spirit, and if you have no sin in your life, that devil will go away and you'll get healed. It's kind of like that lady here from Lubbock or Amarillo two or three years ago that stepped right up here at the end of the healing school and said, Pastor, I got a problem in my right shoulder. I got a big tumor up here on my shoulder. But I told my daughter that if she would bring me here to this place and let you touch me in the name of the Master, he'd heal my arm. That woman had great faith. You saw that, didn't you, Ken? You were there. That woman came up here, I put my hand on her right shoulder and said, in the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, that tumor underneath her dress was gone just like that. It was, and you saw it.
I did.
Yeah. That tumor just disappeared right before our eyes, just like you just... blew it away. It was gone.
Yep, and then her hand flew up.
And then her hand went straight up just like this, all the way up just like this. And her daughter standing behind her said, Mama, you can't do that. She said, I told you. I told you. If you'd bring me down and let him touch me in the name of Jesus, that Jesus would heal me. Does that remind you of the little woman with the issue of blood?
Yeah.
If you know the promises of God, if you know the promises and you stand on the promises, they work for you every time. All you got to do is know that Jesus has bore your sin, bore your sickness, removed your disease. When the devil tells you, look at all your girlfriends, they're dying. Don't believe him. They can die if they want to, but I ain't going to die because I got a praying husband that's going to pray for me. And it worked, didn't it, girl? Isn't it wonderful?
Well, you did it in your God's power. You prayed scriptures over your granddaughter.
Amen. I did. And it worked for her too, didn't it? That's, wow. You know, God put us some awesome promises in this book. But those awesome promises only work if you're walking in love. And the description of who's walking in love is determined by God, not you. You may think I'm walking in love, but you may not be. Wow. Whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe it with your heart, what can you have, Carrie? So for his obedient daughter, he'll give you anything you ask
Amen.
For if you only believe, right?
Only believe. Amen.
Only believe.
Only believe.
So you're a believing believer.
Oh, both hands.
And, both hands.
Both hands. Amen.
Is it wonderful to have God as your believer, your Jesus?
Yes, my Father.
Yeah, your Father. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. Does it look like it pays good dividends to forgive everybody?
Yes.
to forgive and walk in love. Because if you don't forgive and don't walk in love, I keep going back to that hitchhiker, you know, because Mike, he talked about that little hitchhiker. Obviously, he's known about him before. He obviously used to, when he didn't know how this works, he obviously had some visitations of the little hitchhiker. That's probably what was wrong whenever his back was giving him all that trouble all those years. He had a hitchhiker that had messed him up, but he didn't know how to come against it. They didn't know how to confess their sin, didn't know how to repent of their sins, didn't know how to stand on the word and pray and believe. But when they got a hold of it and did it, one simple prayer, and you heard what he said, in one heartbeat, that pain went away. Never had it again. Never. Isn't it wonderful? No telling what y'all prayed for down there at the shop now. But they pray. Let me tell you, they pray. What should we do? Should we all be praying for one another?
Amen.
Yes, walk in love with everybody. It pays. How would you like to walk in divine health the rest of your life?
Amen.
Hey, I love it.
Amen.
I love it. I think about all these years that I've had to walk with God, never been to a hospital. Never paid a penny to a hospital. Like I told Cheryl the other day, of course, it's been a while back. I said, if something does happen to me and you can't pray me back, forget it. Don't you dare call 911. I don't want, if you can't pray me back, it's my time to go to house. And I'm going to the house when it's my time, and I don't want nobody to resuscitate me. Because if it ain't time for me to go, Jesus will take me out. So that's the way it's going to be. I don't have a problem with going home to be with Jesus. Before we quit, let me ask you one more question. Does it pay good dividends to walk in love?
Yes.
If you walk in love, there's no unforgiveness, no bitterness. That means the devil can't ruin your washing machine. He can't break your car. You know, I mean, isn't it awful that the devil goes around breaking all this stuff and we have no idea why? I get so tickled. One time there was a guy, he got really upset with his wife. I mean, she was doing something he didn't want to do. He got so mad, now that doesn't sound like loving your wife, right? He was so mad, he went out and got in the car, grabbed the car, grabbed the door, and jerked it so hard to slam it, he broke the handle off on the inside. Now then I think about what Cheryl said a while ago, whenever she read that story about that little lady, when she said the Lord told her to tell him that she's quitting today. She said, Lord, I can't do that. So she's walking home and stumbles and falls down and busts her knee and messes up her shoulder.
Yeah.
He says, I wonder what will it take for you to tell them that you're going to quit? How about a broken shoulder? Now, you see what I mean? Why not just obey God? If God tells you today's your last day somewhere, just say, thank you, Lord. That's like the doctor one time. There was a doctor. He come up here, and he was all on my case. Thurman, I tell you, I can't believe you got me fired. I said, I got you fired. What do you mean? He said, I had this great job at the hospital, and you've taught me to pray for people. So I've been praying for all my patients. And he says, I prayed for this one lady. He said, I usually ask them, but this lady, I was in a hurry, so I just prayed for her. And said, she wasn't a Christian. She didn't want me to pray. And so they fired me for praying for her. Said, you caused me to lose my job. I said, well, the Lord said, in all things do what? In all things give thanks. So I said, well, jump up and down and start praising the Lord. He said, Thurman, you're crazy. I'm out of a job. I said, how's God going to give you a better job if he don't take you out of that old one? He said, you always see the good side of everything. I said, well, that's what Jesus told me to do. So we prayed, repented for our sin. Next day he called me and said, Thurman, I love you. I thought, uh-oh, what'd you get? He said, I got a job that paid nearly twice as much as the other job did. Now you see what happens when you obey. You do what the Lord says and he blesses your socks off. If we only knew what he's trying to do, we would be a whole lot easier to get along with.
Amen.
Isn't that true, Kim?
That's very true.
Oh, Father, I thank you and praise you for this beautiful day. I thank you for these promises. I thank you that you're going to move on all of our hearts, because Mike, he prayed the prayer right up front that we would forgive everybody from our heart. We'd walk in love with everybody. And therefore, we'd take away the legal right of the devil to torment us. And Lord, bless us this week as we go. Put us in the right place with the right people so that we can see many people get saved, healed, and delivered and set free. Father, I just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, Amen, amen, amen.